Happy Mother's Day to all of those who are mothers and those who have mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Amen?
Amen.
Mama would not like that. Amen.
Amen.
There we go. Come on now, wake up. Busy day, busy weekend, I know, but today is the pinnacle of it, which just passed when they finished singing, so it slides pretty quick from here on out. Epistle lesson this morning comes from the first letter of John, and I am reading from the fifth chapter, and I will go all the way to verse 16. I will not be stopping at 13 or whatever it says in your bulletin. I just got a wild hair. We're going to go a little different. Listen for the word of our Lord. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one. To those whose sin is not mortal, there is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. What a fun read this little letter is. It goes round and round, and nobody really knows where it stops or where it's going. But it is a fun read, and I will tell you that it's a very useful read, especially as we get into this fifth chapter, as this writer tries to wind all of this up that he has been saying and what he has said to the church. And as we talked about last week, there's a lot of feeling of repetition in this writing, as he tries again and again to point out how things build on one another and how it comes out as making good for all of us. But this little letter gives us some other things to ponder. And I have to tell you that on Thursday, this whole sermon got changed and didn't really get finished until this morning. So I may be wobbling a bit, but that's okay. Because it speaks to all of us. It is a great passage, and it gives us much to chew on, even if it sounds kind of crazy. Why did you invert and add, why is there a change in the bringing in 14 through 17 in this? Well, it's a little story I will tell you. I'm not sure that the Revised Common Lectionary uses these passages at all. As a matter of fact, they leave them out. Anything after the 13th verse, they leave out of everything in the lectionary. That is never mentioned, the 14th through the 21 verses that are there. Because people have all along agreed that that was done later. I'll get into that in a bit. And so people don't want to hear about it. And it's also probably has something to do with talking about mortal sin versus just good old sin, it's the other kind of things. Things that Presbyterians don't really particularly want to hear, and a lot of Protestants really don't want to hear. And yet, there's always been a bug in me about taking out Scripture. It bothers me. I'll tell you that story in a bit. Secondly, if you are one who reads such things as commentaries and notes and study Bibles and such, you are well aware that almost every commentator ever believes that verses 14 through 21 were added much later to this text. Okay? As I pondered over this passage this week, and the praying in God's will and asking according to God's will, then we will have obtained the request made of Him. As I struggled with that exegesis, I remembered my first real struggle with these verses. I was in a Greek exegesis class, Dr. Lyle Vanderbrook, was the one teaching that, a brilliant New Testament professor, one who had been teaching for more than 40 years before I stepped into the classroom there. And it was a Friday afternoon. It was in January. It was in 2008. Yes, I remember it well because I was in Iowa, of all places, in January, which is, by the way, travel alert, not a great place to go in January. Wonderful in August, not so much in January. But I was there as a part of a cohort in taking my work in my master's degree in divinity at the University of Dubuque Theological Seminary. We were ending the first week of that being on site. I had been there before in August, much nicer time to go to Iowa, by the way, is August. But we did a lot of stuff, but we didn't really get down to the hard work of, you know, things that we're supposed to, like theology and other things, during that first time on campus. And we had not in-person stuff, we had Zoom stuff type of online training and classes until December, and then in January, the cohort that I was in, 15 of us, were back to do this in person. We were ending the first week of being back on campus, spent every morning with Dr. Vanderbrook. And he got to the end of the day, or the end of that class anyway, and said, okay, for Monday, you need to translate and exegete the fifth chapter of the letter, the epistle of 1 John, because we had been going through this epistle. And he said, but don't worry about doing the verses 14 through 21. Everyone believes that they shouldn't be in the Bible. Now, I took umbrage with that. And I tried hard, to silence myself, and then I realized that wasn't going to happen because it's never happened before, so why wouldn't I? And Dr. Vanderbrook, being observant, having done this for years and being a good teacher, he looked and says, Mr. Leach, do you have a problem? And I said, yes, I do. It seems to me we should do the whole thing. Now I had a problem with my classmates who just got more work added to them. We'll do that later. And he said, well, pray tell, what is your support to make sure that we should do this, which everybody agrees was added in a later date? And I did in my very best way to hold, and I was a little more than a little upset. Some felt this feeling inside of me that was not rage or anger, but I was bothered. But he did not know that I had sparred with Drs. Bob Rogers and Owen Norman and Amos Lane. And he had no idea I had carried on long disagreements with Drs. Heineman and Jim Sims. I knew how to state what I needed to state when I was talking to someone who knew a whole lot more than I did, but I disagreed with them. And I said, well, it seems to me if God is all powerful and omnipotent and Bob and through the thing to get to this, and God has it in, and we have had more than 1,500 years to figure out whether it's really the voice of God or not, and nobody's taken it out. Why are we taking it out here sitting in this room? It does not make sense to me. And Dr. Vanderbrook smiled and looked at me, and he says, oh, well said. Where did you go to college? He said, I know you went to the paper. He's writing the paper. And the paper says you did your graduate work at William & Mary. I said, yes, sir. Where did you go to college? I went to Hampton-Sydney College. He said, well, they taught you well. thank you. And he said, we're changing the assignment for Keith. He will translate all of it all the way to the end, and everyone else can stop at verse 13. And it's funny, and it wasn't funny at all to me at the time. Not because I had to do these extra verses. There was something inside of me that was upset. And I didn't really know it, and I didn't really pursue it anymore until this past week. I'd never thought about it, to be honest with you, although he mentioned it at graduation. He mentioned it again at graduation when I finished at Dubuque. But there was always a tension in me with this, and when I read it again, it started to come up, and I wrestled. Boy, did I look for all kinds of things. I got great notes on a lot of things, but none of them come together because they were not what God had given me to talk about this day. As I sat there that day, I leveled my voice. I did everything that I had ever been taught to do about keeping my cool, not showing emotion, but my insides were rolling like crazy. And I had not thought of that now since January, the second week of January in 2008. And I sat at my desk at my home, the manse. And as I remembered that, I laughed at first, and then I began to cry a little bit. Because I finally figured out what was bothering me, what angered me so much. And it wasn't the fact that people say that that should be taken out of the Bible. I think they're wrong. I don't know, what do I know? But the situation that I was in at that point in time, I had a full-time job, 2 kids at home, a wife who was trying to take care of everything while I was gone for almost 3 weeks at a time to go to seminary, more than 1,400 miles away. And by the way, driving to Iowa from Florida is not fun in the wintertime. Did I tell you that before? It usually snow and ice you had to get through. It was not fun. But worse than any of the cold and the snow and everything else, was that my family was 1,500 miles away. I was using all of my time off to go to seminary. Now, I tell you, I knew 100% that that was what God had called me to do. There was no feeling I shouldn't be doing this. But it seemed to me in that moment that all that I was doing was hard, and it took everything I had to come home from work every night, have dinner with the family, clean up, and go sit in front of a computer for the next 3.5 or 4 hours before going to bed and doing it again the next day. The hours that I missed with my children and with my wife were hard. It was very hard. And I thought about that sitting in my office. And I began to look at this letter very differently. The relevant question here is not should those verses be in or out, or exactly what is this saying. Because what the writer of this letter is saying, you can trust God. Now, I knew I trusted God, but I had an issue because when we were there for that first couple of 3 weeks in August, the faculty sat way far away in the first dinner, and we all felt like we were guinea pigs. And we all talked about the ones who were there as students. Talked later, it's like they looked at us like they didn't know what we were, like we had something growing out of our ears. Most of us were older than the people who were professors there. And deep rooted in that and in that time there and with me and everything else was a question about not was I doing what God wanted me. I knew exactly that. What I needed to know is were they ready to do what God wanted them to do. I did not want to be up there wasting my time with a bunch of people who were not listening to God and did not care what happened. I wanted them all in. I wanted them to understand that God was all in. None of us chose this. God did. And as I thought about that, I came up with my own little version of how this whole business of it came later happened to the scripture. Because as you read this passage, if you read not this passage, but the whole letter, what the writer is telling whoever reads it, you can trust God. God's there. God's all in with you. If you ask a question, God will answer it. Being a Christian in those days was not easy. It's not easy today. But we can be assured that God is with us in that not easy walk in life. And I wanted that day to hear the professor say he was walking with God and me in this path. I wanted to know that he knew that I was walking the path that God gave me. It was not something else. It was not like my ego, like I really wanted to put the stuff on every week and do this. It was nothing about that. I wanted him to be all in, just like all of us were all in. The writer of this letter says, God is all in. If you ask, God will be there. And I love this. Not the greatest translation in the world, but when, you know, they say what you... you know, what you're going to get, once as soon as you say it, God will know it, and you'll know that God has got it. And even though it sounds like, because the translation is pretty bad, even though it sounds like it says God's going to give you everything you ask for, that's not what it says. It says God has gotten it. He's got your request, got your back. Never says you're going to get everything you ask for, especially if you go to the Greek. I mean, it's shaky. But God will be with you. The relevant question to ask from this letter's point of view is God there with you, walking beside you every day, helping you on the path that has been laid out before you? And the answer is absolutely yes. God is with you. God cares for you. God wants to be with you. God wants to hear from you. God will be in more than even you are putting in. You can trust God. I know that often we get to places and we say, God, where are you? Where are you? Why is this happening? Why are people rioting in the streets and on college campuses? Why is this happening? Why are people still killing each other in Ukraine? Why is all of this going on? Don't be dissatisfied when the only answer you get is, I'm still with you. And I will be with you. I will never let go of you. Because really, when you know that we are all in this together as Christians, and that God is fully into it also, life can't be bad. It has to be good. The writer of this letter probably went to sleep one night after he had finished all the way to the 13th verse, and sometime down the road he woke up again and said, they really got to know that God wants to be in with you. I got to make sure we write it down some more. They have to hear the message. God is with you. 100% in with you day after day after day. No matter what the burden that you're carrying is, I'm with you. Sisters and brothers, we can rejoice that one or two or however many authors knew that and made sure that others knew it. Because they too knew that God was in with them. Let us share that good news with everyone we meet, in every place and every time. Especially in the worst of times. I give thanks to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who use all of us to learn all about Him. Amen. Thank you.